Still in Siman Sadites, and we were in the Ramah on Sif Vav. We're talking about the world of Ein Avat v'Nisur L'Chatchila, and the exception perhaps of Isur Shel Divreihem, Machlokes Mechaber and Ramah. And then the Ramah continues, Isur Shenis Batel, Kegon Shehaya Shishim Kenegda, V'Nitvaseif Bo Acharkach, Min Ha'Isur Harishon, Choser V'Neur, V'ne'esar. That we have a concept of chozer v'ne'ir, that even an Easter that was once batel, if more Easter is added and the ratio has changed, then the halacha changes. And then the Ramah continues with a statement which is not agreed upon by everyone. Loshna min b'mino, loshna min d'she'eno mino, loshna yavesh, loshna lach, loshna noda b'intayim, loshna lo noda b'intayim. Here we have a shach, Katan Kaf Aleph, who points out that all of these categories make sense except for one. Namely, when we're dealing with the world of Bitul B'Shishim, if you recall, thank you very much. We had a world of Tarobis of Lach, and we had a world of Tarobis of Yavesh. Lach, when we're dealing with Min, B'She'eno Mino, so we have over here a requirement of Shishim Ken Mida Oraisa, and then that's expanded to Min Bamino, that even though there's no taste, but because of the Yisr is there, and that this now requires Shishim Drabanan, and in Yavesh Min Bisha'eno Mino also requires Shishim, right? That we go in this direction, Shema Yavashleim, you're going to cook it, and then you taste. We go in this direction. However, when we're dealing with Min B'mino, in Yavesh, this remains on the level of the Torah of Achrei Rabin Lahatos. This is Batel B'Rov. Even Midrabana, this remains Batel B'Rov. And so the Shach points out that if we have a case of Min B'mino, where we had Bitul B'Rov, and no Dehatar, and it became Mutter, then, even if now we're going to add more Isur, this is not a Chozer Venir situation. The first Tarovis, so we had a Halacha, again, this is the approach of the Rosh, of Isur Nefach Lios Heter. So now we have another bit of Isur, but it's still going to be Batel. Namely, the fact that previously we had a ratio, it's not the same as in these three situations, there's a Metzius. There's a Metzius, and when we add more Isur, then the ratio is changed, and then we no longer have Nirgash HaTam, we no longer have our Shishim. But in Min B'mino, we weren't dealing with a Metzius, we were dealing with a Halacha. We had Halacha of Bitul, and that Halacha of Bitul is going to withstand an additional addition of Isur after Noda HaTarovis. The moment Noda HaTarovis, so we have a situation of Novar HaSafik, we have a Hachra'a that we have Bitul, and now we have a new situation. This is not considered to be Chozer V'Nir. This is what the Shach says al pi Svara, and at the end he points out that even though he feels this way very strongly, but there are many who disagree with him, and who say that across the board we have this issue of Chozer V'Nir, and so he only was going to be posek the way that he feels in a case of Hefsed Meruba. Okay, that's how it's off Sifkatan Kafala. That I'm the Mekel, they're the Machmir, Behesed Meruba, Efshar Lahakel, for the reasons that I gave. So that's A. B, we have Alir Taz in Sifkatan Yudalad. The Taz points out that even though the Ramah says Loshna Noda, Loshna Lo Noda, however, in Hilchos Basar V'Cholav and Siman Sadi Dalad, over there, we do make a distinction between Noda and Lo Noda, that the Mechaber says that when you're sticking the same spoon in twice, so if we have a case of Noda, then we don't say that you require 120. Only case of Lo Noda, you require 120. The Taz Sifkat and Yudal. So the Taz himself distinguishes the Hacha Ika Iser Chadash. Namely, that in our situation, we're dealing with a Metzius, as we pointed out. we're adding more Iser. We had a certain amount of Iser, and now we're adding more Iser. Previously, the Iser was not tasted. Now it is tasted. So, Loshna Noda, Loshna Lo Noda. However, back there, we didn't add new Iser. We have halacha called Chaticha Nasei Snevela. When you stuck the spoon in the first time, then the nevela from the spoon went into our tarovas. When you took it out, it went into the basar. Okay, the chalav went into the basar. When you took it out, now the spoon became basar v'chalav, and when you stick it in a second time, that basar v'chalav goes into the tarovas. In other words, you're not going to taste anything. There's no difference in taste. We're talking about a halacha of chaticha nasei snevela. Within that halacha, so then we say that once already we paskened al pi din that there was it was beetle. We're not going currently to undo the beetle via halacha, but via mitzius that will undo the beetle. Okay, so we have to distinguish between the situations. So that's what we have over here in terms of the Ramah, the first section of the Ramah. Then the Ramah continues with another halacha. Kizayis chalav shenofal lemayim v'nisbatel b'shishim. We have some milk that was watered down tremendously to the degree that it lost its identity. V'achar kach nofal min hamayim l'kedera shol basar mutar. Afal pi she'ein b'basar shishim neged ha'chalav hari nisbatel b'mayim l'chol koyetze b'zeh. That even though we had, again, the kezayis of chalav fell into 60 kezayisim of water, and now it falls into 10 kezayisim of basar. So kezayis chalav in 10 kezayisim is not batel. But since the chalav was already misbatel in the water, so it's not a problem that it's into the second kedera. Here, the shach in Sivkatan Kafbeis points out that there's a word in the Ramah, which is lav dafka. The Ramah says, achar kach nofal min hamayim l'kedera shel basar. There's no need for it to fall in. You could take it l'chatchila. You have this milk which has been watered down to the degree that it's now al pi din water. So you can add that water l'chatchila to the basar. What can't you do? And that's pointed out over here by the Gilin HaMarsha, the first nafal is dafka. Namely, you can't water down, we pointed this out earlier, you can't water down milk in order to put it into meat. But if the milk was watered down, not by you, it was watered down by a goy, it was watered down by accident, nafal, then you could take advantage of that situation in order to be able to take this milk and l'chatchila put it into the meat, because it's no longer al pi din milk. But you can't, to be mevatel iser in stages, say I'll be mevatel the chalav in water and then put it into the milk, that's the problem still of a mevatel iser l'chatchila. Okay. The shach was then disturbed that when we're learning Yeredeya, as you're very much aware, separates the men from the boys. This is really your opportunity to show that you've learned how to learn. And so the Mechaber and the Ramah tell you Dvarim Pshutim. They told you halachos that you have to understand. So what over here is the Chiddush? When you think about it, isn't it obvious that you're allowed to add water to milk? The fact that once upon a time to meat. Once upon a time this water had an ingredient called milk, but it was batel. I mean, what's the Chiddush over here? Isn't this din obvious? So he says, no, we have a Chiddush. We might have thought that water and milk is heter beheter. And heter beheter is not batel. Kamash malan, we have bitul of water and milk. That's the chiddush, that the water and that the milk is batel in the water, even though it's heter beheter. And classically, the world of bitul is only iser beheter. So on this, Rabbi Akiva Eger raises not just his eyebrows, but he raises his entire body and says, what is the shach talking about? The whole din of heter beheter lo batel is when we have two things that the combination is aser. In other words, milk is not going to be batel in meat. We're not going to say that the tzemer is batel in the pishtim. That's a din of heter beheter. Actually, milk and meat is going to be batel for different reasons. But with tzemer and pishtim are not going to be batel one in another. You have one string of tzemer in an entire beged of pishtim, heter beheter lo batel. But we have a black and white sif in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Resh Tzaditet, that if what you have a strand of tzemer rechilim, which is what we call wool. And this is in a beged of tzemer gemalim. Tzemer gemalim is not al pi din wool. The hair, it's not wool, the hair of a camel. So if you have a beged made out of camel hair, and in that you have a strand of wool, we don't say heter beheter lo batel. Certainly it's batel. Certainly it's batel. And then you could take that camel hair and you could put pishtin in it. It's not kilayim because the wool was already batel. And so over here, that's exactly what the mechaber, the Rabbi, is telling us, that milk into water is like tzemer rechelim into tzemer gemalim. That we're dealing over here with two things that don't create an iser. We're dealing over here, this isn't tzemer in pishtan. Certainly there is a din over here of beetle. It's a black and white. It's a black and white halacha in It's a black and white halacha in Hilchos Kilayim. So then the question revolves on the Reb Kiveger. So what then is the chiddush of the Rama? You got a question?
Yeah. Are we saying the rule is now the heter beheter? There is a bit of heter beheter as long as it wouldn't be theoretically mavi the deyaser.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. So what then is the chiddush? So Rabbi Kiveger comes up with a brilliant chiddush. What is the brilliant chiddush? And the brilliant chiddush is that we're going to come in the not too distant future to a simon that deals with davar sheyesh lo matirim. We're all aware of the classic definition of davar sheyesh lo matirim, something which is currently asur, but in the future we'll have a matir. Muktzah is currently asur. Motzei Shabbos is going to be mutter. We spoke about Ner Chanukah, right? The oil of Ner Chanukah is currently asur post Chanukah, and it's going to become mutter when Chanukah rolls around again. Right? That's a classic davar sheyesh lo matirim. But the Ran in Nedarim on Daf Nun Beis quotes the Rif that there's another type of davar sheyesh lo matirim. That if you have something which currently is usur, however, I can deal with it currently in a way when it's going to be mutter, that's a davar sheyesh lo matirim. Namely, I can't deal with bitul on something that I have an alternative way of using the heter. Let me give you an example. Let's say that that we have some milk falls into my bread, and I have I have this loaf of milchik bread, okay, and this loaf of milchik bread falls into 60 loaves of regular bread, or even 2 loaves of regular bread, okay. This milchik bread, assuming there's no taste, falls into 2 loaves. Of regular bread.
Assuming there's no taste.
So, yeah, assuming that
like
it would taste.
It would just had a little bit of.
That the parva bread had a chemical dairy flavor.
Oh, okay.
Okay. So you know it's no the same taste, same bread, etc. So I don't say it's butter. Why not? Because it's a davar sheyesh lo matirim. I can simply take this milchik bread and use it in a milchik meal. Why do I have to be mevatel it? Namely, bitul is a last resort. If I don't need the last resort, so then there's the Rif says there's no din of bitul. Or for example, I have a piece of meat which I didn't do malicha on. It's full of blood, and it got mixed in with 2 other pieces of meat on which I already did malicha. Are we going to say that it's going to be batel? No, because I could simply take this piece of meat and bitzola it. Namely, I have a way of dealing with it. I can't be mevashel meat that hasn't undergone malicha, but I can roast meat that hasn't undergone malicha. Once I have an alternate way of using it, I can't use bitul. Bitul is if I don't know what to do. I have a suffix. If I'm not going to be mevatel the suffix, then we're going to have a problem. But if by not being mevatel the suffix, I have an alternative way of dealing with it, so maybe then there's no din of bitul. That's the Rif. That's the Rif. He has another definition of Ishlam Atirim. So we see over here from our halacha that the Ramo disagrees with the Rif. Because I could have just taken this water and used it in a milchik meal. in a milchic porridge or whatever. In other words, and yet we see over here that we're using the rules of bittul. We're using the rules of bittul even to something that has an alternative. So we see that the Ramah doesn't agree with the Rif. What Rabbi Akiva Eger then sort of raises.
Yeah, the only thing is, aren't we saying the water is not milk anymore? It's nothing. It's just plain water now, right? So there's no.
But that's because of the world of bittul, that we have this din of. Again, we pointed out. We pointed out that the world of bittul is in turn is either a halacha or it's a mitzius. And when you're dealing with bittul b'shishim, it's a mitzius of bittul, but it's a din of bittul. And so that according to the Rish, you can't use bittul when we have an alternative. And here we have an alternative of what to do with the water.
It's not quite the same case. You're not doing something to bittul, and yeah, it's already been bittul. And in the other cases,
but I'm using the principle. I'm allowing myself to add this milky water to the meat because of the din of bittul. But according to the Rish, I can't use the din of bittul to allow for a mixture if I have an alternate way of using it. So
even though this has been bittul shogeg, so to speak.
Correct.
We're not doing it intentionally.
Correct.
But he just
taking advantage of the situation. I hear what you're saying, and that would answer a question that Rabbi Akiva Eger raises against the Rif. He says, okay, had it been a Ramah against the Rif Meila, but this Ramah we just pointed out is really a Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah in Kilayim says, the Perek Tes Mishnah Aleph, that Semer Rechelim and Semer Gemalim, that there is bittul. You can simply take that and make a beged without adding Pishtan. Namely, so it's also a Davash Shematir. I mean, still we use bittul. So you see that bittul works even in situations where there is an alternative. We don't pass like the Rif. In other words, we're going to see later on there's a machaber against the Rif, etc. But the chiddush of the Ramah over here is telling us that we don't pass on like the Rif. Okay, that's to finish the sif that we did last time. Sif Zayin, that's the last sif that we have over this siman, is really based on an understanding of a Gemara in Avodah Zarah and Daf Lamed Gimel Amed Beis. The Gemara, and this is all, I'm just simply quoting to the Taz. The Taz quotes the Gemara. The Gemara points out that if I have a cask, I have a kankan that was used by Goyim to store wine. And of course, when you store wine, some of the wine is absorbed in the walls of the kankan. I can use that same kankan when it's been emptied out. Now I can use it to store sheikhar, to store beer. And that's the Gemara tells us. The question is why? What's the heter? What over here is the heter? Don't we have a din of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila? Isn't some of that wine going to go into the beer? And even if it's batel, ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. So here the Rashba understands the Gemara as follows. The Rashba's working assumption is that how was the wine absorbed in the walls of the cask? It was absorbed via a process called kvisha. Kvisha means that you have cold liquid for more than 24 hours. There is a transfer of ta'am from the be'en into the kli. Kvisha. Says the Rashba, kvisha is only a surface belief. Again, we don't paskin that way. We paskin, we saw already in the Shach, that kvisha kibishul dami. Kvisha goes into the kli, it's an entirety. But the Rashba held that kvisha is, he learned from this Gemara, that kvisha is a local bliya. It only goes into the surface of the kli. And therefore, whenever you're going to fill the kli with sheikhar, there's always going to be shishim. And in situations where there's always going to be shishim, there's no din of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. In situations where there's always shefa, because again, we asked what created this din of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. So the Rashba said, maybe you're not going to be mesha'er properly. Maybe it's going to come out that it's 1 to 59 instead of 1 to 61, and you're going to rationalize that really you have bittul. But if we always have shefa, if we always have 1 to 100, 1 to 200, 1 to 300, says the Rashba, there's no problem of ein mevatlin iser lechatchila. And the Rashba is backed up by Tosfos. This is quoted by the Taz. He quotes the Chachmei HaTzarfatim, that an alternative is you could simply peel the inner surface of the kli. You have that alternative because the blia of kvisha only enters into the surface. It doesn't go through and through. So we have a possibility also of klipa. Tosos is klipa and the Rashba's shefa. The assumption is that kvisha only goes in kidei klipa. Kvisha is a local blia. And therefore the Rashba paskins in Siv Zayin, im haya nivla iser muat letoch kli basar, im darko shalosa kli lishtamish bo b'shefa heter. Muter lishtamish bo l'chatchila, kevan sha iser muat, yefshar lovely dinisinas tam. Lefikach iser mashahu shenivla b'kedeira otoch kankanim keyotzi bahem, muter lishtamish bo l'chatchila. Afilu ben yomo, lefishi yefshar lovely dinisinas tam. Aval, if we weren't dealing with a cask, that's always used b'shefa, but we're dealing with a pot, the klisha darko lishtamish leitim bedover muat kikara kadome, also lishtamish afilu b'shefa, gzeira shemi yishtamish bedover muat yavod inisinas tam. Okay, that to use a regular kli, we're always afraid, maybe I'm not going to be mishayer the shishim properly, but to use a kli of shefa, I'm always allowed to use. Again, this is the Rashba's understanding of the Gemara, but the Ran disagrees. The Ran says, mapitom. Kvisha is through and through. Kvisha is through and through. So what gives you the right then to use this kli for Sheikhar? So that the Ran comes up with a totally alternative understanding of the Gemara. The Ran says that when we have the following combination, A, that we have a nosein ta'am lifgam, given wine and beer do not mix. Wine, in other words, that you're going to taste the beer, it's going to taste off. Is that the phrase? It's going to taste a little off, right? Because of the wine. It's not going to say, wow, this is, it's not like blended whiskey, right? That the wine adds to the whiskey. It's going to be off. So A, it's going to be a little off. B, you don't want the wine in the beer. Your kavana isn't to put wine into beer. Your kavana is to store your beer. What are you going to do with the beer? You can only have so many bottles. You need a large cask to hold the beer in a bar. You just can't have bottles. You need something much larger. So your kavana is not to be mevatel, and it's nosein ta'am lifgam. That combination tells you there's no problem of ein mevatel nisur l'chatchila. Okay? So that's what. So again, according to the Rashi, what overrides ein mevatel nisur l'chatchila is shefa. Irrelevant if it's nosein ta'am lifgam or not nosein ta'am lifgam. Irrelevant of your kavana, shefa. A lot. A large quantity. According to the Ran, no. The Ran uses, it says it in five words. That aim of, in other words, that the holy Easter of aim of using an Easter l'chatchila is l'misha niskaven levatlo kedei lehenot mimenu. Six words. L'misha niskaven levatlo kedei lehenot mimenu. But if you're not machaven levo, right? All you want to do is store the beer. And you're not doing it kedei lehenot mimenu because it's no same time of gam, then it's no good. So we have a machlokas between the Rashba and the Ran. The Machaber over here paskins like the Rashba. The Taz paskins like the Ran. The Taz says the Rashba is wrong. There's no such thing as a din of shefa. There is an in-between shita, and that is the Tur. The Tur says that the Rashba is correct that shefa will override if no same time of gam. When you have a combination of shefa and no same time of gam, that combination will override. Okay, so that is like a psharadika, a shita. The Ran wants to bring a very fascinating raya to his shita, that when something is no same time of gam and you have no desire to get hanof from the iser, it's mutter. From the world of Hagolas Kelim, we have a din of klei midyan that when Moshe Rabbeinu, that when Klal Yisrael defeated Midian in the battle, they got all of these kelim, and the Torah says, what do you do with these kelim? Haba b'mayim, yavi b'mayim. Hagola, that you take a kli and you're magil the kli. How does Hagola work? That the kli is eno ben yomo. The kli is no longer the tam coming out of, in other words, you take a kli, clean it out, you fill it up with water, the water boils. The tam from the walls of the kli go into the water, right? And it's already a kli that hasn't been used for 24 hours. That's a tam pagum. So now the kli is boleya a tam pagum. The tam pagum doesn't affect the kli. And then what do you do with that tam pagum in the water? You pour it out. So we see that when we're dealing with the tam pagum and you don't plan to be nehneh, there's no problem of eimevatan yisur chatrila. Why don't we say that every hagolas kelim is eimevatan yisur chatrila? Because when you have that combination, that double whammy of no same tam lufgam, and you don't plan to be nehneh from the water, then it's mutter. The difference is that in the world of hagola, you're going to throw away the water. Right? You're going to throw away the water. Here, we're not, when you put the beer in the barrel of wine, you're not throwing anything away. That's pointed out over here by the Gilyon HaMarsha, that the tzushtel, the combination, is not an exact combination. I mean, the comparison is not an exact comparison. But okay, in any case, that's what we have on the table. Question is, how do we paskin? How do we paskin? Do we paskin like the Rashba, like the Ran, like both, like neither? How do we paskin halacha lamaisa? We have over here a Gemara that tells us that there is something, some factor or combination of factors that's going to override eimavat v'nisur chatrila. According to the Rashba, shefa. Using a kli which is always used with a large amount, there's never going to be a din of eimavat v'nisur l'chatrila. According to the Ran, no. Shefa is not a criteria at all. We have two factors. No sein tam lefgam and ein kavana levatel. So let's deal with them one by one. In terms of the Rashba, so there are achronim, and they are quoted in this encyclopedia called Hagolas Kelim, right? It's a Hilchos Uminhagim Hashalem. Rav Tzvi Kohn, I think his name is, that he has a whole series of svarim as a sefer on Tvilas Kelim, Hagolas Kelim. So he quotes achronim, I think it's the Maharsham, that says that nowadays we can be mag'il an enamel pot. Now, what? What is enamel?
Mag'il
that we can kasher. We can kasher. We can use du hag'ala. We can mag'il an enamel pot. Why? What's an enamel pot? It's basically a metal pot that has a very thin cover of enamel. The enamel is a form of cheres. It's a form of pottery which is hardened, and which serves as a very aesthetic covering of the metal.
Inside.
What? It could be only on the outside or even on the inside. It's a thin covering of the metal. Basically,
it's aesthetic, it's functional.
It's functional as well.
So the food wouldn't stick to the metal, that's
why? No, so the question is, what's the heter? That we know that you can be magil matechet. So you'll take the enamel pot, you'll fill it up with boiling water, and the tam will come out of the metal. Right? Now, you cannot be magil cheres, which means that a little tam iser is going to remain in the enamel. But that means that every time you're going to use that pot, you're going to have a very, very small amount of iser and a lot of heter. So according to the Rashba, there's no problem of eimavatan isur l'chatrila. Namely, you're kashering 98% of the pot, and that is mutter because the 2% which is left is always going to be batel b'shishim. So whenever you use that pot, you're always going to have a beetle of shishim because the amount of isur that's left post the hagala is always a minute amount. It's only in the very thin lining of the enamel. A very cute, you know. So he says lechatchila. In other words,
because we don't have a problem with eimivatim instead of lechatchila, because since we know it's always batal.
Exactly, that's the Rashba's principle.
So even if you don't hold like the Rashba, the kedusha works. You can still hold by this.
Correct. Right. In other words, in the example of the Rashba, it's not. But this is a case of using the principle of the Rashba. This, of course, also works according to the tour, because the tam within the walls of the Kedera is going to be a tam pogam, etc. But you don't even need the Torah. You can use the Rashba. However, if you take the page I gave out to you, everyone have a copy? Where are the copies? Okay, sorry. Okay. There's a tshuva of Rav Moshe on the side of where you see the typeset of Rav Moshe's tshuvas called Siman Samach. I should have written on it that it is Yoredeya Chelek Aleph Siman Samach. You have it? The other side. Yeah? Everyone have? Okay. Rav Moshe deals with an issue of Hag'ala Bestim. Okay, Hag'ala Bestim. Can you use can you use, you know, one of those steam rifles to shoot boiling steam at a kli, and is that going to work or not? What was the question? The question was that the rotzim lahachshir, I'm sorry, the top line of the question fell off, but Rav Moshe was said, you wanted my humble opinion on the following issue, that you want to be machshir machonot v'tzinorot kedei lasot acharkach glitzerin mishuman kasher. That we pointed out, in terms of blended, that there were two non-kosher ingredients. One was the wine, and one was the glycerin. Glycerin is a smooth additive. It's an additive that brings about smoothness, which is made from minachai, which is made from animals. So what you can do is take a glycerin factory, be machshir the machinery, and then take the fat of kosher animals and make kosher glycerin, right? But you have to be machshir the factory. So they wanted to be machshir the factory with steam, and all of the pipes and all of the containers to make kosher glycerin. Like nowadays, let's say, was it the baby food Beechnut, is that what it's called? Gerber? Right? In other words, I mean, they have all these OU Gerbers. What does it mean? It means they take over the factory for a day. In the morning, they come in and they're machshir all the machinery. They put through all kosher ingredients. With that, they make enough to service the Orthodox community for a year. And so, and then you go back to the non-kosher. So, can you do it with a glycerin factory? What is the issue? So, if you skip down to the next paragraph, it says, "Umasha asa, masha rakvot haraso harama, shemi bachutz nikar shuman hachelav sviva." Namely, you have this factory the size of right the Gruss Center, and you're going around looking at all the pipes. And you see that there's one point in the pipes that on the outside of the pipe there is be'en of schmutz. There's schmutz, right? Non-kosher ingredient, which is on the outside of the pipe, that you can't reach with the steam. Namely, you can kosher 99% of the factory. But when the food goes through that curve, it's going to, and it's boiling food, it's going to be boleya from that point. So namely, you can kasher the entire setup except for that one point. So he says, Yihye mutar. You can do that. You can kasher 99% of the factory, but only on one condition. Avol rak im iev shar lenakot mashim yibachutz. Avol chatchi lo tzarech lenakot kol efshari. Namely, Rav Moshe paskins, you can be somech on the Rashba of Shefa, bidi evid, right? Why only bidi evid? Mishum sheyesh cholkim al harashba shepasek hamachaber besof siman saritet shematir hanivla iser muat bekli shedarku shtamish bo b'shefa heter. I ain't bataz sham ubatur is kuf kaf beis. Avol b'i efshar yesh lahatir. Okay, in other words, so we can be samech on the machaber b'di eved, because machaber quotes the Rashba, even though the Taz says that there's another understanding of the sugya, the Ran, and the Ran disagrees with the principle of the Rashba. The bottom line is b'di eved yesh lahorot kamachaber. Why shigam haramalo hisigalov? The Ramah didn't quote the Ran. The Taz quoted the Ran. Okay, I'm not. In other words, the Taz is a gadol, and I disagree very much with what Rav Schechter pointed out in his shir. Since I only learned Taurus Habayis with the Rav, and not Yerid, I have no idea what the Rav's opinion was of the Taz. But in any case, Ech Shelo Yihyeh, the Rav Moshe says it can be samech on the Rashba / Machaber Bidiyevet. Okay. There is one other tshuva written by no one other than Rav Schechter himself, who is somech on the Rashba L'chatchila. Turn over the page. So you have over here this Daf HaKashrus. I'm sorry, I don't follow up with the Daf HaKashrus. This is from 1997. I'm sure that there, you know, that in the last 9 years, other things have come out as well.
Have Rebbe used this like yearly? Like Rebbe keeps this. This tshuva that when he uses the teacher
printed up
from when I saw it, I didn't see 1997. So at some point, someone gave me a volume of Daf HaKashrus. So I went through and I saw it. I said, "Ah, that fits in." Okay, so we have the following question. B'mif'al shemechinim ma'achalim k'sherim ba'otam kelim shemechinim ma'achlot asurot v'hakol na'aseh b'tzonen. Namely, okay, so we're dealing with a factory which is making things cold. And we're using the same machinery. That is, remember, it was not boleya. There's no bliya. Nothing sits 24 hours. Just you have non-kosher ingredients, and then things are cleaned up, and then using kosher ingredients. Asher meila ein sham bayat bliyat kelim. Ach ein apolim medaktikim kol kach lushtofet kelim vein iser leheter. But when they clean it, but they don't clean it 100%. They clean it 98%. But there's still crumbs of the non-kosher ingredients in the machinery. Nisha sham ktsas mashu shel iser. We're talking over here again about iser ve'en. Again, the Rashba was speaking about bliya in a kli, that which was absorbed. But we have over here mashu shel iser ve'en mi bifnim bekelim v'haderechu lishtamesh bo beheter b'shefa. That little ve'en which is left is always going to be batal b'shishim. V'vadei yehei sham shir bito. Ha'im yesh b'zeh mishum ein mevatren iser l'chatchila. Okay? That's the that we have. So the answer to the question is that we find a raya to the Rashba from a Mishnah in Trumos. Zeh mekoro b'masechet Trumos perek yud aleph Mishnah vav through chet. Now, I know Rav Shechter is a tremendous baki, but this Mishnah in Trumos is quoted over here by the Biur Hagra. As I recall. Yeah, the Biur Hagra in Sifkatan Yud Zayin, in the Likud at the end. Raya Miperek Yud Aleph de Trumos. What is it talking about over there in Trumos? The Kli Haya Bashemen Shel Truma. Think to yourselves, there's a bottle of Truma oil. And you poured. What happens when you have a bottle of oil and you get close to the end? Right? Drip, drip, drip. Right? Now, the question is, how long do you have to hold that bottle to keep dripping until you can refill that bottle with chulin? So the Mishnah points out, Ein mechayiv enoso yod yoshev umetapeach. There's no need for you to wait until everything falls out. But rather, as long as you do it, kederech ha-mechabdim, the way things are normally cleaned. Namely, that the moment that you get three drops that are dripping separately, one, two, three, zehu. Now, you'll see the oil. You can see the oil inside. But people use it that way. That's the way people use bottles, and then you can refill it with whatever you want, and it's fine. So we see, what's the heter? Bito. I aim avat v'nisur chatzil, but there's always going to be shefa against whatever there. So that's the Rashba. And so over here, as long as kibdu kederach hamachabdin, ein matrichin oso lasot yoter. So this is basically the Rashba. So we're samech on the Rashba, even by be'en, as long as it's a be'en, which is always going to be bato. Okay, so halach l'maisa, you should be aware of that we are samech on the Rashba. Okay, what about the Ran? Now again, it's not either or. There are two different ways of learning the Gemara. So we saw that shefa, according to Rav Moshe, can be used b'di'eved. Rav Shechter and Rav Belsky allow us to use shefa even l'chatchila, even by a be'en. Okay. What about the Ran? So here, if you'll turn over the page to the page that has Rav Moshe's tshuvas on it, on top of the page. For those of you, I already learned, not everyone has a Yoredei de Siman Pei Dalet. If you have a Yoredei de Siman Pei Dalet, you can look back there. In Siman Pei Dalet, in Se'if Yud Gimel, the Mechaber says as follows. Dvash shenoflu ba nimalim. You have honey, and some ants fall into your honey. Right? It happens sometimes, let's say you have ants in the kitchen, and you have an open jar of honey, or it's during time that they use honey, Rosh Hashanah, etc., and some ants go into the honey. Now you want to get out the ants, but you want to still eat the honey. So how do you do that? So there's a patent. Yichamemenu, heat the honey ajihe nitach until it liquefies, and then yisanenenu, and then pour it through a sieve, and the ants will be stuck in the sieve, and you'll throw them away, and you have pure honey. But what happens when you heat the honey to the point where it liquefies? You're going to have a blia from the ant into the honey. Right? So here, the Rashba has no heter, but the Ran, the right thing of the Ran, it's the ant is no Saint Tam of Gum, and your kavana isn't that you want ant blia in your honey. Your kavana is to get the ants out of the honey. That's why you're doing this. So this is similar to Hagalas Kalim. This is similar. You have the two conditions. A, that it's no Saint Tam of Gum, and your kavana is not for beetle. Your kavana is, you don't want to vattle the ants. What you want to do is get the ants out. Okay? Similarly, look at the next sif. Chitim mitulaim. If you have wheat which is infested with bugs, mutar litochtan, you are allowed to grind that wheat into flour. Now, what's going to happen when you grind the wheat into flour? You have bugs in the wheat. Are those bugs batel? Nope. They're beria, we're going to see. They're whole bugs. They're not batel. What happens when you grind them up? Then they're no longer a beria, and then they become batel. So you can grind the wheat. I aim avat v'nisur chatkila. The bugs are no Saint Tam lifgam. And your kavana isn't to have bug pieces in your wheat. Your kavana is you want to have flour. You're grinding it to get the flour. So again, we have over here two Sifim in the Mechaber, that even though the Mechaber passes like the Rashba in Hilchos Tarovis, he passes like the Ran over there in Hilchos Talam. There's no Stira. You can have your cake and eat, you can have both. But over here, this is not so Pashut. And this is pointed out by Rabbi Akiva Eger, that if these Sifim have another reason that is involved. In other words, the Ran allowed you to use the food even with the blia of the wine in the sheikhar. By the case of the Nemalim, you're throwing away the Nemalim, right? This is more like Hagola. We pointed out that Hagola is not the best of proofs. And in the world of Tochen, if you look over here in the Taz says in the world of Tochen, why the Togleim Borakim Bishas Hatchina, that when the bugs hear the grind the wheels, they have an instinct, like every animal has an instinct, run away. This is dangerous. And then the bug doesn't think that he's going to be ground up, but he has this instinct to run away. So, as it says, Taz says, we have a sfeik sfeika. Maybe the bugs aren't there because they ran away. And even if they're there, they're going to be ground up and they're no longer going to be a beria. So the Rabbi Kim Eger points out that it's not so clear that even from these two sifim that halacha maisa can be samech only on the Ran, but there is an achron who passes like the Ran lechatchila, and that's Rav Avadya's son, Rav Yaakov Yosef. Is he the Rav Rashi, Rav Yaakov Yosef, or he's the one? He's the brother who's in Bat Yam or Ramat Gan or somewhere.
Yaakov passed away.
Baruch Dynamis. Okay. So anyway, he wrote a lot of the svarim of Rav Avadya as well, and he has a tshuva that I saw about falafel balls. That his question is, falafel balls are made from hummus, right? Chickpeas, right? That chickpeas are ground up, and then they are made into falafel balls. But chickpeas are a vegetable that are usually relatively infested. They have to be checked. So what if you don't know if the store is checking the chickpeas before they're grinding up? Do we have a problem over here of eating falafel in that store? So he passes, you could eat falafel lechatchila. Why? Because A, maybe it was checked. And even if it wasn't checked, and it was tossed into a blender without being checked, but then the blender chops up the bugs into little pieces, they're no longer a beria, and it's no Saint Tam Lefgam, and your kavana is to make falafel balls, not to chop up bugs. And so this is the heter of the Ran. So you can eat falafel balls even without knowing if they if the kadurim were checked. We have a similar issue that
if you that they weren't checked, does it still work?
Still works
because it's just this is not considered in mivatlin.
Exactly, according to the Ran. An example of such is by the strawberries. Strawberries, according to the Badats of the Eda Haredis, are infested with bugs that you cannot get rid of simply by washing the strawberries or cutting off the top. So how does a person eat strawberries? So according to Badats, he has two options. One is to peel the entire strawberry and then to eat everything but the peel. The other is to toss the strawberry into a blender and then you have strawberry flavor. When you toss the strawberry into a blender, you're mevatel the bugs that are in the strawberry by turning them into pieces, and then they're batel b'shishim. It's the Ran, that since the bugs are nosein tam lefgam, and your kavana isn't to eat bugs, but you want to eat strawberries, right? That's your kavana, to get a strawberry flavor, so that is the heter. So we find that both the Rashba and the Ran are used lechatchila. Another example that I found in one of the Masorah journals, I think it was Dalid, was to use, in Hebrew it's called niyar afia. In English, is it called baking paper?
Parchment paper.
That you put into, you want to bake and you don't want it to stick to the baking pan, so you put this parchment paper. Now the parchment paper has a non-kosher ingredient in it. Okay? But that non-kosher ingredient is always going to be batel in the cupcakes that you're baking or whatever you're baking, and it's a nosein tam lefgam. Okay? So since your kavana is to bake and that you should have a clean baking pan, you have no kavana to be mevatel that ingredient, and the ingredient is a nosein tam lefgam, so therefore we have a heter. Or, over here we have a tshuva. This is from Yoredeya Chelk Beis. Borit is a soap. Shaosin me alcohol, sheba me chelev, shepagum me achilas kelev. Okay, we have a part of the non-kosher animal, which is mixed in with all sorts of ingredients that even a dog wouldn't eat it, and it's currently a detergent. And the question is, can you use this to wash your dishes? Okay, that we have a dishwashing detergent. And the source of the dishwashing detergent has an organic ingredient which is not kosher. So Rav Moshe Paskins, muter lehishtamesh, even if it's true that it has this non-kosher ingredient. Because he points out as follows, that when something is not kosher and it's no Saint Tam Lefgam, there's no achshave. You're not planning on tasting it, but when you are being menake de kelim, because it's no Saint Tam Lefgam. This isn't your kavana to be mevat. This is the Ran. You know, it's simply a restatement of the Ran. Okay. So we find both. In other words, that we have over here two shitos of learning the Gemara, and we paskin like both of them. We paskin like the Mechaber and the silent Ramah, and we paskin like the Taz. Okay. Ad kan in terms of Siman Saritet. Siman Kuf. Yeah? Okay. Siman Kuf. You with us?
Try.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yes, I'll give you work. Pass these out.
Try. Thank you.
Okay. Siman Kuf. Does everyone have a copy? Different page, second page. These nice copies I have, in other words, once upon a time in Midrashia, I taught Yoredeya. The women should know what to do in the kitchen. Okay. So, but for the women, they don't have a text of Yoredeya, so everything was photostated. Okay. So, we have a principle that Beria is not going to be Batel. Correct? Afilu be'elef lo b'tela. Where does this come from? So the Taz points out that this din that Beria is not batel is a din drabanan. Okay? Extra so,
what is beria?
Beria, that's our question. What is a beria? Let's, for the sake of argument, saying an organic hole. An organic hole, an ant, is a beria. An organic hole, right, the bug that we spoke about, is a beria. An organic hole is not batel, even b'shishim. That's a din drabanan. Namely, the principle is that bitul means something loses its identity. When something has a chashivus, when something has a sense of importance, so midrabanan, it doesn't lose its identity. We're going to see later on the concept of chaticha harilis kabeg, a steak. It doesn't lose its identity, even among other steaks. There's a concept of dovar choshuv, that's something which is sold by number, as opposed to by weight. Let's say nowadays you buy a dozen eggs, right? So a dovar choshuv is not going to be batel. Well, once my wife and I were in a visit, we El Al once canceled one of our flights back from America, and we were stuck in an airport, and so we got a pitsui. They said you can fly anywhere you want to in Europe. So my wife is from Hungary, so we flew to Budapest to daven at Kivrei Avot, whatever Kivrei Avot are. We're left there, and we went into a store to buy tomatoes or apples. I think it was apples, and we took a bag of apples, and we asked them to weigh it, and they began counting the apples. You don't pay by weight; you pay by each apple you have to pay for. It's you know, we don't realize the chef in Eretz Yisrael, the Kanai Nahara that we have. It was not that many years ago. So the Taz points out, but Rabbanan just don't stam make Gzeira. Gzeira is always built on some De'oraisa. And so we have a concept of Beria in the world of De'oraisa in a Mishnah in Makos. So I quote over here, the Mishnah in Makos is the second Marim Makom. Kama yochal min ha-tevel v'yehe chayav. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, kol shehu, piece of wheat. Chachamim Omrim, Kizayis. Amrul and Rabbi Shimon, iatem modil mi ba'ochel namala kol shehu shehu chayav. Amrulam neshehu kibriyasa. So we have a machlokes between Rabbi Shimon and the Rabbanon if on a stalk of wheat you're going to have a din of beria, but they all agree that swallow a goldfish, right, then you're going to be chayav malchus, even if that ant or that minnow is smaller than a kezias, because it's a din of beria. Namely, in the world of malchus, when the Torah says don't eat Shkatsim aramasim, you don't have to weigh or take the volume of a kezias worth of shkatsim aramasim. You're going to get malchus for eating one worm, for eating one bug, which we'll speak about later on. Is very, very difficult for a person to try and be careful about. So this is the task. Chashivas beria shalotehe betela himidrabanan. Kevan shemenatori yesh chashivas telokan al achilasa afilu pachos mikezias. Once we have a din of beria midoraisa in the world of malchus, so Rabbanan made a chumra in the world of taroves that a beria is not going to be batel. Everything in the Torah is batel, but not a beria. Okay, so now our question is, how do we define a beria? So we find in the Gemara a number of examples of beria. Beria, dahainu could go nimaga. That's one example. That the Mishnah says the Namalah is a beria. Of Tamei, that's a Gemara in Chulin on Daf Kuf Beis Amid Beis. Gid Hanoshe, that's also a Gemara in Chulin. Eivet Menachai is also a Gemara in Chulin. V'beitza sheyeshba Efroach. This is not so clear, but we'll come to it in a minute. V'kayotze Bahem. Anything similar to these examples. Afilu be'elef lo betela, because all of these are beria. Now, what are the criteria? What holds all of these together? So here we have a machlokes rishonim. What are the criteria of beria? That on one hand, we see, if you look in the Maram Makomos, the Gemara in Chulin, Saritetum et Bethru Kufa Mer Aleph, Gid Hanosha Shenizbashel is going to be osur. Gemara asks, V'nivtol Beruba. Gemara answers, beria shiny. So on one hand, the Gid HaNosha is a beria. On the other hand, the Gemara in Chulin Kuf Beizim Ebeiz, only two blot later, says, Ochal Tzipor Tahora B'chayeha B'kol Shehu, that if you were to have a little chick, smaller than a kezias, and you were to swallow it, lo aleinu, and talking about a tzipor tahara. So then, if it's alive, you're chay, that's Eber min achay, you're chayav. B'misasa, if it were to be dead, namely it has the status of nevela, then kezayis. It's the same bird, whether it's alive or it's dead. So why, if it's alive, are you chayav because it's a beria, and if it's dead, utter because it's nevela? So that question was asked by the Rishonim. Okay, so what are the criteria of beria? So the first criteria is that which Rashi points out in Makos. Risek, if you take a beria and you grind it, mi'ech v'kitate, those are different verbs in Hebrew language for cutting things into small pieces, squashing it, right? Mi'ech is to squish, squash. Kitate is to cut into small pieces. Risek is to grind. All of those, bitlan mitaras beria. Namely, a beria has to be a whole. A beria has to be an organic whole. That's where we're starting from, okay? But on top of that, we need more criteria, because the chick that you ate is still an organic whole, that when it was dead. So Tosas and Chulin, Daf Tzarivav, Amad Aleph, was bothered by this, and he points out in the last two lines of Tosfos, V'yeshlomar d'haynu taima, d'chihani, d'chiyamar achmana lo tochal gid, lo tochal oftameh, eiver min hachai, have kilu piresh ben gadol ben katan, kuhu mikre gid, of, ubilvachi ushlemen. Avol nevela, chaticha name mashma nevela. Namely, that according to Tosos, we need something that its definition is taloi on its wholeness. That a gid hanasha is an entire gid hanasha. A piece of a gid hanasha is not a gid hanasha. A piece of an of tame is not an of tame. Mash'enkein, a piece of nevela is nevela. A piece of chelev is chelev. So if something, when you cut it in half, we say a rose is a rose is a rose is a rose. If you cut a rose in half, it loses the name rose. Now it's petals. You have petals. You don't no longer have a rose. So anything which loses its identity, it loses its name when it's cut, so then it is not a beria. Anything which loses its name when it's cut is a beria. Anything which retains its name even after it's cut is not a beria. So nevela, half a piece of nevela is still nevela. A quarter piece of nevela is still nevela. Half a piece of chelev is chelev. But half an aver is not aver. Half a oftame is not an oftame, etc. That's Tosis's criteria. Okay? So nemala, you cut an ant in half, it's not an ant. Oftame, you cut it in half, it's not an oftame. Agid hanasha, aver menachai, all of those fit in very nicely. But that's not the only criteria. Maybe we'll start off. If that's the only criteria, I'll start that way. If we pass like Tosos, that's the only criteria, we understand very, very much why Tosos was bothered in Brachos by an issue that the Yerushalmi raises. What if you eat one grape? Do you make a bracha achrona? Classically, you make a bracha achrona when you eat a shear. A shear of eating is a kezayis. What if I eat one grape? Do I make a bracha achrona? Why? Because according to Tosis' criteria, a grape is a beria. It's shalem. Im nechlak, we say ein shemo alav. It's no longer a rose. It's no longer a grape. So it's a beria, and a beria has chashivas. And so the question is, does that chashivas also apply to the world of brachos? This is brought in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, Orach Chaim, Siman Reish Yud, Sif Aleph, Ha'ochel pachos mikazayis, bein mipat, bein yishar ochlim, shos epachos merevias, etc. You make a bracha rishona, but you don't make a bracha achrona. The yesh mistapkim lomar, shal dovar shu kibriyoso, kagon gargir shel einav, o shel rimon, mevorkim acharehem. This is our issue. According to Tosis, this is a beria. You shouldn't eat it. Either eat a half a grape or eat a kezayis worth of grapes. Don't eat one grape. Right? That's what the Shulchan Aruch paskins. You shouldn't eat nachon lizor lo lechol beria pachos mi kezayis. However, this is all a problem according to Tosfos, because the Ran holds there's another condition. Remember back in the Mishnah? When Rabbanan, you know, it's Rab Shimon said to Rabbanan, if you eat a stalk of wheat, you should be get malkos if that wheat is tevel. And Rabbanan disagreed with him. Why? Because they said, and what did Rabbanan have to say to that? What's the difference between an ant and a piece of wheat? Chius, life. Namely, maybe there's another condition to the world of barrier that you need animal life, not plant life. You need animal life. And then, that's what the Ran says, that we have this condition of chius. It has to be whole. In other words, you don't need imnecha kamalab, you need chius, you need that it be alive. And therefore, the of tame, that the of tahar, which is dead, that little chick, it's not a barrier because it's dead. You need chius in order to have a barrier. The Tosis would say that whole discussion is aliba de Rabbi Shimon, that we don't need it according to Rabbanan. In any case, that's a second shita. And then there is a third shita that of I shouldn't call it the Gemara. Gemara Makos Yud Zayin. El Liditku Odali Mihas Tachitas Kibriyasa Vrabanan Biryas Neshama Chashuva Chita Lo Chashuva. Then we have a final shita that of Rashi and Chulin. Rashi and Chulin points out that tmeya, if you eat an animal which is tame, bein b'chayeha, bein b'misasa, b'kol shehu, chayav, de ber yahi, v'lo tzricha shir, ochal namala kol shi kibriyasa, ber yah asur b'kol shehu, avolav de nevela lekala chiyu v'mishim ber yah. Why? De kishen nivres lo haya ale shem nevela. Lafikach alav de nevela lo mechayev ad kizayis katani, Mia b'tahora b'chayeha b'kol shehu. Namely, that Rashi points out, we had this issue, what do we do with Nevela? Why is Nevela not a beria? So he answered, Tosa says, because him nechlak shmolav. We saw, according to the Ran, that there's no chiyus. Rashi has a different criteria, that you need asr mitchilas briyasa. Right? That the Namala, Oftame, Gidhanasha, Evrim and Achai, they're all asr mitchilas briyasa. Masha Enkein, the Nevela, that's an Easter that comes about at a certain point when it is killed, not via Shrita. So something, this Easter, which enters in the middle of the existence of this object, is not going to call it a beria. How does the Mechaber Paskin, like Tosfos, like the Ran, like Rashi? So the Mechaber says as follows. Ve'en lo din beria ela, im kein hu davar shahaya b'chius, namely the Ran, lafuke chita acha shel Easter. Rashi, Lafuke of Tarshinis Nabil Bashor Haniskal. Vitzarach Shihe Dover Shalem Sheim Yehalek Ain Shmoalav, Tosfos, Lafuke Chelev. Vachain Tarach Shihe Shalem. So the Gra points out over here, Vashochanarach Piresh Lakula Kolatanoim. You need everything. You have to have the whole kitchen sink, everything, all of the criteria. You have to have all of the criteria. If you're missing one criteria, it's no longer a barrier. Just to finish off the Rama over here, Ikar Yid Hanasha Eina Alakaf Bilvad Vehu Karochav Dalad Etzbaot V'im Hushale Mikri Beria. That sometimes we have objects that have two definitions. There's a Yid Hanasha De Oraisa, which is smaller, and then there's a Yid Hanasha Midrabanan, which is broader. So when we're speaking about the Beria, we're speaking about the De Oraisa. This goes back to the Rama in the beginning of Siman Sarichet, that we define Mimimino by shame. Shame, that we pointed out that there are different shemos, we take the shame of the Torah. 1 minute. Okay, we'll stop over here, but hold the page, if possible. Bring it next time, because on the other side of the page, in the bottom of the page, what we're going to discuss next time, we're going to begin with, is the issue of